I enjoyed that testimony, Brother Lee's, there a moment ago, didn't you? Amen. I'm glad for the hand of God, the heart of God, just the Lord helping us and touching us. Amen. And Brother J.R.'s testimony, good to see you all here. I appreciate Brother Sutherland, and he has been the profile of a great pastor, hasn't he? Guarantee you. He's had the courage, convictions, caring heart, concern for those that were lost. You know, a lot of things like that are no longer in a pastor's heart. They're considering just the money aspect of it. But that's not what it's all about, is it? Thank God for our pastor here, for this church here, for you people here. The Lord bless you. I certainly appreciate being here tonight. And every time I come here and try to preach, I always feel like a sparrow in an eagle's nest with all these preachers around here. And it feels like my voice is about to leave me, but I'm going to try to preach for just a few moments here tonight. 2 Samuel chapter 14. 2 Samuel chapter 14. It's an old, it's really a familiar portion of Scripture here in 2 Samuel 14. And really it is about the woman of Tekoa. She had a parable for the palace, and what a story it was she had to tell. 2 Samuel 14, verse 14. Good to have my sister Cassie with us here tonight. Appreciate her being here. 2 Samuel 14, 14. Would you mind to stand with me for the reading of the word? Would that be all right if you're able? You can? Amen. And I understand if you're not able to do that. I fully understand. 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 14. For we must needs die, and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person, yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. Lord, I thank you tonight for your word. Lord, I praise you because we have the word that we can hold in our hand and will affect our hearts. And by the grace of God, go to heaven with it. Now, Lord, I pray that for the next little bit, you would help me tonight, that you'd give me the anointing, that I could preach what you'd laid on my heart here tonight. Thank you for this group of people, this gathering of your people, Lord. Bless each of them tonight. Help our hearts to be open and receptive to the word. We'll thank you and appreciate it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. The Bible says about this woman that she was a wise woman, wise woman. And you and I both know that there had been serious grievances in the life of David. He had been a failure when it came to the lust of the flesh. He had been marching on as a strong king, doing marvelous exploits, wonderful things for the kingdom of Israel. And then all of a sudden, there was that very marked failure of the lust of the flesh. And as a result of that, the Bible says to David and about David that because of his great sin, they would raise up evil against him out of his own house. I noticed just a few moments ago, those precious children going down the steps. And I want to tell you parents that are here tonight, if you play with sin, your children are liable to be greatly affected by it. Greatly affected. It wasn't just David's temptation. It became those children's great trial. And the ones that we oftentimes love the most dearly are the ones who are affected by things that overcome us. there was murder and immorality and things like that. And so murder took place in this family. David's son was murdered by another son. And that bothered David. It certainly bothered David. He had a father's love for his son Absalom. That bothered him tremendously. But when you read the story, Joab saw it, perceived it, and saw that his heart was toward Absalom. Lord, let my heart be toward my children. Hallelujah. Let me raise them right and do right by the Lord for my children. So the children suffered so much because of David's sin. And yet David's heart was affected by his children. And Absalom had been separated over there in another area of the world from his father in Geshur. And I'll tell you tonight, sin will separate you. Want to church? Sin will separate you. And this sin separated them. Joab, realizing David's great grief and his desire to see his son again and to have his son back again, although feeling that the charge of a king and justice had to be fulfilled, and yet there was such a conflict in being the father and yet also the king of the nation and having the heart of a father and needing to mete out justice at the same time. Joab, realizing that, found a wise woman of Tekoa and told her what she ought to do. And so she did that. And although it is a story that's basically made up, there are some marvelous truths behind the story, if you look at it. And so she came to David where he was, and there this wise woman spoke to him and gave him this little story, and she told him about the story of a couple sons who had someone who had a couple sons, and they'd striven together. The son, two sons did, and one killed the other, and the family had risen up against one son, and they wanted to destroy him. And she came begging mercy and so on. And David took it, he took the bait. He took the bait, worm, sinker, and all. And he said, something needs to be done. Justice needs to be meted out. And eventually she looked at him and said, well, David, you're right in the very same boat that I told you this story about. And then she brought home the story to his heart. And she said, first of all, let me tell you, David, for we must needs die. We must needs die. And I'd like to tell you tonight that although this is a made-up story, that is an absolute truth that all of us need to understand, that death is inevitable. We must needs die. Isn't that right, church? Death is determined, and death will not be delayed. We must needs die. Everybody thinks that it's going to be somebody else that'll die except us. Well, I want to tell you tonight, you must needs die. You will die as well. I was reading a little article today called The Survival of the Richest. It's a news article, and they said the super rich are trying to buy immortality. And they say, when you have everything you've ever dreamed of, what's left to want? And then the answer, time, of course, to enjoy what you have gathered of your toys, time. Well, you've got the Lamborghini, you've got the Learjet, the houses or the palaces, the latest designer dresses, the heaps of diamonds, and many, many are spending and spending and spending. But now many are very serious about spending their money to stall the aging process. And the reason why is they realize we must needs die. But I want to tell you tonight, no matter how you load the dice,
You will not defeat death. Amen. That's what the little article said. The grim reaper will not be intimidated by your lotions and by your creams and by your capsules that you take. The grim reaper will find you right where you're at. You must needs die. Death is absolutely inevitable. There's an old Persian parable that said, a servant came running to his master, breathless and in great fear, begging for a fast horse. And he said, I must needs go to Baghdad. And the master asked him why. He said, well, because I saw death in the market of Samaria today, and he threatened me. And the master gave him his fastest horse and went to the market of Samaria. The master did. Looking for death, wanting to confront death. He finally found death and he said, why did you threaten my servant? And death looked at the master and said, I didn't threaten your servant. I was merely surprised and startled, for I've got an appointment with him tonight in Samaria. In Baghdad. And so I was just surprised that he was here in Samaria, and I've got an appointment with him tonight in Baghdad. I want you to know that you must needs die. Death is inevitable. Here the other day, I was called on a coroner's call, and I've never seen anything like it in my life. When I got there, it was a 28-year-old young guy, and he was laying there in the bed. His face had the marks of youth. His face was strong and stout. It looked like a rugged face. He was muscled and well-built. He had been working out and done everything that he could. Whenever I went to take my little pictures of that 28-year-old young man, I rolled the cover back a little bit, and there he lay, his chest bare. And I noticed, have you ever seen these little rubber stamps, and they look like they're square, and you take them and you stamp something up? It was stamped right across his heart, as if in a tattoo you would take a stamp, the word void, right over his heart. And I thought, my Lord, I don't want that to be in my heart. I don't want my heart to be void of the things of God. I need victory in my heart. I need the Lord in my heart. I need God in my spirit and the Lord in my soul. And the reason why, we must needs die. We must needs die. I'm telling you tonight, amen, it's not the only that the guy that you're going to have the funeral for here tomorrow night that must needs die. Every one of us are marked for death, and you and I will die. It is absolutely inevitable. Death will not be delayed. Death is determined. I heard about a little 4-year-old guy got sunburned. He is beginning to peel, and he has taken off his skin piece by piece. He said to himself, I'm just 4 years old and already coming apart. Wow. I'm here to tell you tonight, death is inevitable in the church. The satanic forces will try to tell you otherwise. Satan will whisper, like he did Eve, you won't die. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, you will. You will. What she was saying is, Absalom may die before you see him. Absalom may die in banishment. Your pardon may come too late. Life is too short and uncertain to embitter it with enmity and anger. I want to tell you tonight, life is short. But now notice what else he said. He said, are as water spilt on the ground. Not only is life inedible, not only is life so short and inevitable, but I want you to know tonight, and it disturbs me, and I guess the reason it disturbs me so is because from my position, I see so much of it, and I understand it, and I see how
parents whose children leave this world. And I stand over them and I weep with those parents. And some of them have no hope of ever seeing their children again. Amen. Death is inevitable. Life is irrevocable. It's irreversible. For notice what she said. She said it is as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. You go out there and pour, a glass of water on the ground. You'll not be able to get it back up again. It will sink right into the ground. And I want you to know that your life cannot be recalled, for the fuse of life is very short. We only get one shot at it. Amen. The hand of death has got an iron grip. It's like a barred gate. Amen. When death takes a lock on your soul, the strongest angel in heaven will not release you from death's grip. Life is irreversible. Let me encourage you tonight to make the most and the best of your life. And the way to do that is come to Christ, run to Christ, and live for Christ, and go for Christ while you have the opportunity. Hallelujah. For your life is absolutely irrevocable. It cannot be recalled. And I want to tell you this tonight. God is a keeper of good records. God keeps good records. The moving finger writes, and having writ moves on, nor all your piety nor wit shall lure it back to counsel. Half a line, not all your tears wash out a word of it. I'm telling you tonight, when the finger of God writes your sentence, there's nothing, brother, that you're able to do to revoke it. I'm telling you, you need to live right. The Bible said God shall bring every work into judgment. God shall judge the secrets of the men by Jesus Christ. He is our judge. You're going to meet Him one day. Your life will not be returnable, brother. Amen. My wife loves to shop at Walmart. And the reason she loves to shop at Walmart is because things are so easily returned. But I'm telling you here tonight, when it comes to your life and your living and your death and your going, there is no return. There is no return. I want to tell you something. God's a faithful bookkeeper. He will not forget to make an entry. Amen. Death is inevitable. Life is irrevocable. But now notice what else he says. This wise woman, in this parable for the palace, neither doth God respect any person. Death is inevitable. Life is irrevocable. And God is impartial, isn't He? Neither doth God respect any person. God is impartial now. I know the world and men reject that. But the work of Christ reveals that God is an impartial judge. He is no respecter of persons. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, some would ask, preacher, is there any hope? Can I be saved from hell? How in the world can I go? What can I do? Amen. I'm telling you tonight, the way to eternal life is through Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord, who died for us. Amen. For God is an impartial judge. You one day stand before the great white throne judgment, and the books will be open. And I'm telling you, don't let the devil deceive you. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. God is no respecter of person. It doesn't matter what kind of position you have in life. It doesn't matter the possessions you have in life. It doesn't matter the person you are in life. I'm telling you tonight, you must be covered by the blood and washed in the blood and know the power of the blood
of the Lamb. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing. I'm glad I'm cleansed tonight in the blood. Hallelujah. And I'm going to meet an impartial judge one day that's going to open up correct records, good records, righteous record, and I'll be judged out of the record of my life. I want you to know tonight that your soul is very valuable in the eyes of the Lord. Your soul is a personal thing. Amen. Nobody else has got your soul except you. But I'm telling you tonight, even though it is a personal thing, it's a precious thing in the eyes of the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord purchased us and loves our soul. I'm here to tell you tonight, no way too late to come to Christ and live for Christ. Amen. You can say amen to that. Life is death is inevitable. Life is irrevocable. We're like water spilt on the ground. Cannot be gathered up again. I want to tell you tonight, death is not embarrassed to leave you in some of those compromising positions. You can take that from someone who has seen it. Amen, church. It's absolutely right. Amen. Hallelujah. When I see the great white throne judgment, I see the impartiality of God. When I see the cross, I see the impartiality of Jesus, that He makes no difference. Amen. So I want you to know tonight, are y'all still with me? Amen. I didn't know this service was going to have the solemnity over it that it has. And I feel the presence of the Lord. And I feel the preacher here tonight. Amen. And I heard about this precious man. And evidently from what I heard Brother Sutherland say, there were some changes made in his life. Thank God for that. Glory to God. I trust everything's all right between him and God. Amen. I trust it is. Death is inevitable. Life is irrevocable. God is impartial. God is no respecter of persons. He hath no respect for any person. It don't matter whether you're a potentate or a president or a pauper. God will not respect you for who you are. And then lastly, I like what she says. Yet, thank God. Thank God for those little words that make such a big difference. Yet, doth He devise means that His banished be not expelled from Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God, I like that. Would you let me repeat it one more time? And I've already said it several times. Death is inevitable. Life is irrevocable. God is impartial. But thank God the cross is intentional. Hallelujah. Amen. Calvary is intentional. Thank God. He doth devise means whereby His banished may be brought back. Hallelujah. I'm glad for that. You and I were in a dreadful position before God. We were banished and we were separated. Just like David and Absalom were separated. Sin will separate you from your Father. Sin will separate you from your Heavenly Father. Amen. But oh, brother, even though we're in a dreadful position, there's been a divine plan. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. There is mercy that has been given. There is grace that has been given. There's a cross that has been erected. You and I can be saved by the grace of the Almighty. There's a means of mercy that the Lord longs to save us by. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God, I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. I'm glad about the blood tonight, aren't you? I'm glad Calvary was intentional. It was no accident. It was no happenstance. Oh, hallelujah. The blood was shed that I might have life and have it abundantly. Glory to God. I'm glad for the cross. Hallelujah. I'm glad for the cross. They said it happened somewhere up around Huntsville, Alabama, up in our northern country, up in the northern part of Alabama. There was a couple churches up in that area. One of the churches, something happened. They had a fire or something. And then a neighboring church allowed them to come in and use their auditorium until they could fix their church and get it back in working order again. They said that the press, the local media, found out about that and thought that to be such a heartwarming story of Christian love and character. And so they sent out someone, a news camera and a crew, and they talked to the pastor whose church had had the issue. And they asked him, they said, "How's things going?" I said, "Fine." It was neighborly of this church to allow us to come in, use their facility, and to have our services here. Finally, one of those media people asked him, said, "Well, let me ask you something. Was there anything different that you had to do? Anything at all you had to change so that your services could be accommodating to your conversation?" And that pastor said, "Why, yes, there was." He said, "You see right up there, there's a cross." He said, "We had to cover the cross. And the reason why, it was an offense to our people." Well, I'm here to tell you tonight, we need to uncover the cross. Hallelujah. And obey, love the cross. And appreciate the cross. And realize it's by the cross that you and I are saved. Glory to God tonight. By the cross of the Son of God. Let me uncover it. Hallelujah. Let me love the cross and appreciate the cross. Oh, hallelujah. Are you glad tonight for the cross of the Son of God? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm telling you, there are men that speak stoutly against the Almighty and against the cross. Let me speak stoutly for the Lord and tell the Lord, glory to God for the cross. Hallelujah. And what the cross has done in my life. Amen. Glory. Glory. Glory to God. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Hallelujah. I was blind, but now I see. Glory to God for the cross. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. For he's telling us here, the cross is intentional. Salvation is intentional. For he deviseth means. Yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. Amen. Notice there was a dreadful position before God. We were banished. But there was a divine plan of God. It was a plan of mercy. Yet doth he devise means. Well, some would say, what was that means? There were 6 cities of refuge all throughout Israel. And if there was a manslayer, he slew someone, he could run to one of those cities of refuge. I'm telling you tonight, take the counsel. Take the counsel of the Hebrew writer who spoke about those who flee to the refuge. Run to the refuge. For there's a distinctive promise from God. And what is that distinctive promise? That his banished be not expelled. Yes, sir. I'm telling you, you don't have to be expelled from the presence of God, from eternal life. Are you hearing me tonight? You don't have to be expelled. No, sir. But I'll tell you what I would do tonight. I would compel you to come. Come. Amen. For when you look at this, there's a people that this salvation embraces. Amen. For all have sinned. Come short of the glory of God. But I'm telling you, Jesus Christ came to embrace everybody
and to save all that were lost. There's a people. There's a people that salvation embraces. There's a person that salvation exalts. Who is that? That's Jesus Christ. But there's also a plea that is expressed in the salvation. Come. Come. Acknowledge your need as my wife comes to the piano. Renounce your sin. You say, why? You must needs die. You're going to die one day. Later or sooner. Some have said something to the effect, well, you know, I got more time than I got anything else. You may not. You may not. You may not. Would you stand to your feet with me and lift your hand and tell him, Lord, thank you. Woo, hallelujah. That you have devised a means. That those banished ones be not expelled. Hallelujah. 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 Would you let me tell you about this little parable for the palace? This little wise woman said, David, death is inevitable. We must needs die. David, life is irrevocable and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered again. David, God is impartial. Neither doth God respect any man's person. David, salvation is intentional. Yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. I'm telling you tonight, he offers you a refuge. I was reading a little story today about an elderly sister who was dying. The pastor came in and said, sister, are you sinking? She didn't say a word. He got up close, thinking she didn't hear him, said, sister, are you sinking? She turned her head toward him and said, sinking? You can't sink when you're standing on a rock. Glory. Glory. I'm glad I'm standing on the rock tonight. Not on the sinking sands of life. Glory. Woo! Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Aren't you glad you're standing on the rock tonight? Glory. Can we worship Him one more time? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory. Glory to God, glory to God. Glory. Glory. My little grandson, Zach, he's a little older now, and he's always spent the night with me on occasions, and he's a poor bedfellow, I'm telling you. Wow, we get a tussling match over the covers, and by the time it's over, I'm halfway on the floor and halfway in the bed, and he's got most of the bed. But here a while back, he spent the night with me, and he looked over me and said, Papa, would you hug me? And I said, sure, buddy, I'll hug you. And I hugged him for a few moments there, and he said, it just feels so safe here. In your arms, Papa. Oh, I'm going to tell you tonight. If you come to Jesus, it will feel so safe in His arms. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. My Savior will not leave you at the crossing of the river. go with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Could you bow your heads with me just one moment? I feel the need to compel someone here tonight. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord, I tell you, He loves you. He loves you tonight. Is there just one here? You don't know Jesus. Young or old. Young or old. You say, I'm too young to die. I've got my life planned and ahead of me. Yeah. That little 19-year-old kid that had that beer bottle fastened between his legs. When that automobile that he was driving in expelled him and impelled him to that hard surface. When he landed, that beer bottle was still between his legs at 19 years of age. And we took that broken body up and put him in a plastic bag. I thought, oh God, if thou hadst known that at least in this thy day the things which belong to thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. And you're going to meet an impartial judge, son. Is there just one? Is there just one? Young or old? Young or old? Young or old? I invite you to come tonight. I invite you to come. You know what? I know I'm taking a little time to make this altar call. And everybody here may be saved, and that's all right. But every one of us needs something in our hearts that tells us, Lord, I need more of you. We need a little challenge every now and then because, brother, we haven't made it yet ourselves. Have we, church? We're still on the upward road. Is there just one here? You don't know Christ? Tell you what I'd do if I were you. I'd run to this altar. I'd flee to that refuge, Jesus Christ, my blessed Lord. I'd run to Him with all of my heart, and I'd cry, and I'd weep on this altar and tell Him, Lord, forgive me my sins. Thank you, oh God, that I don't have to be expelled. Glory. Is there anyone? Is there anyone young or old? Young or old? You don't know Christ. You don't know Christ. Let's everyone that will come find us an altar. Everyone that will, let's come seek His face. Ask Him for His grace.